Reading first, and as we've said, either in Habakkuk or Habakkuk, whichever you prefer. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And that scripture was for the director of the music on the stringed instruments. And then, reading in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Just remain standing for Rob to come and pray.
Well, again, it is good to be here with you this evening. And, you know, this morning I had great intentions. And you know that with great intentions comes usually something that's called failure, or just things don't work out the way you want them to work out. But I had plans to be here early and everything like that. And I thought, I'll even give myself a little extra time, just come down the road, enjoy my drive. And we have a little computer trouble at the Bergen Church, so I thought, I'll just spend a little time on that and see if I can get that corrected. And 4.5 hours later, I managed to get resolution, but then it just, man, and that spending time doing that just seems to suck the life out of me. I don't know about you, but fortunately, and I'm thankful for this, I had two great people. So yesterday it took me 10 hours, and today was the short day, the 4.5 hour day. But I think we have everything resolved. But I had some great people on the phone who are wonderful and were able to communicate well and walked me through that. And I just was so thankful for them. I said to the one guy today, I said, thank you for keeping me from the ledge. Because, man, I was ready to start throwing things. I thought I would, but anyway. But we have resolution, so that is good. And, you know, I was kind of surprised. When I got the note that the seniors were going to be reading, I thought we were talking about some Mexican vaqueros that were going to come up, and I thought, oh, it's not senior, it's senior. So anyway, I'm pleasantly surprised to have you do that, but I was looking for the vaqueros when I came in, but they weren't here. But that's okay. That's par for the course. I want to start by telling a little story, a little pack trip story from about 30 years ago. And it was one of those times that I hope I never forget it. If I remember anything, I hope one of these trips are one of those trips that I remember for a long time. Because I had an opportunity to do an adult pack trip with Peace Country Pioneer at the time. So it's a part of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and this group from the Grand Prairie. Grand Prairie. They would do these trips through the summer with kids and youth. And one year we had this crazy idea, let's do an adult trip. It was the only one we've ever done. But it was a good trip, but it proved to be something of a journey for all of us. And we started in the Kakwa Wilderness. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Kakwa Wilderness, but you go to Grand Prairie and then you drive for about 2.5 hours southeast and you end up in this beautiful area on the Kakwa River. And from there, it's right on the border of BC. You head over into the Kakwa area of British Columbia, Kakwa Lakes, up the Kakwa River, and then into some of the most beautiful wild country that I've been through in my life. And you sort of do this jaunt through the, as the province comes straight and then starts to zigzag to the southeast. Right there is kind of the area we're in. And so you sort of, you're in and out of BC and Alberta all through this trip. And so we start this trip from Kakwa Wilderness all the way to Casket Mountain. Now that sounds kind of ominous. When I say, yeah, we went to Casket Mountain, there's like, well, who died or what happened? It's nothing so daunting, but there's just this flat mountain. And then on top, there's this rock formation that looks like, from the distance from Surprise Pass, it just looks like a little box on top of this mountain. And so they call it Casket Mountain. There's nothing buried there. Nobody's hidden in there. There's no old legends or anything, although we could turn it into one. And right to the north of that is a place called Intersection Mountain. And if that's where that province makes this jog and comes like that. So that's kind of where this is. And so we started off with these adults, and I think there was about eight of them and three, four staff altogether, or four of us that were helping out on this trip. And then we had to go along, and it's not a terribly hard ride when you're riding lots, but these people had never, a lot of them had never ridden, or if they had, it was a long time. They had to kind of stretch their memory to remember those days, but they wanted to go on this trip. So we get them on their horses and we start on this trip. And to get to Sheep Creek, the Sheep Creek Valley, which is right in the below Casket Mountain, it's about a 3-day drive. So you got 3 days, 3 nights on the trail. And the interesting thing with taking adults is the kids, you can just cheer them on, right? If they're feeling down, you can just spend a little bit of time with them, cheer them on. Adults are a different breed. And every day and every evening around the campfire, the moaning and the groaning and the complaining. And if they'd have known what some of the weather and the conditions I rode through that country in, they would have been, I think, a lot less moany and groany. Anyway, they're moaning and groaning. And on the third night, we are camped in this little valley, and it's kind of the last valley as you leave BC. And it's pretty. I mean, you're under Bastille Mountains in front of you. You're under the shadow of it, and it's beautiful. It's wilderness. I mean, we've seen a lot of wolverines up there, that kind of thing. But it's kind of rainy, a little cold. They're tired and they're weary. They've been wanting to go home for 3 days. They wanted to turn around. And you get to this place, and it's kind of subalpine, so there's not much for tree life there. So it's, like I said, it's cold and rainy, when we start a fire, it's more smoke than heat, because it's all alpine fir. And I don't know if you're familiar with trying to burn alpine fir, but when it dies, it becomes more powdery, and it's like soggy toilet paper, really. And you're trying to get this to burn, and there's this level of smoke. It smells pretty, but that's all that's about it, you know. And it is not my favorite place to camp. And it seems that every time I've gone through that valley, it has been damp and wet and just soggy. And it's just not the place. I remember the first night I was there, I was like, where are we and why are they camping here? But, you know, and that night we sat around the fire, and it's like, we really think we should turn back. We really think we need to go backwards, to go back to our old ways. And a staff, especially the two of us that had been on this trip before, we said, now, hang on. Before we go back, we want to tell you that tomorrow we will be in a valley that is so pretty, it will just warm your heart. It could be raining and it's pretty there. Now, because there's good wood, there's lots of dead pine, and it burns well. And if anything, we can have a warm fire, and we don't have to eat half-cooked eggs because the pan will get hot enough, those kind of things. And so we're trying to convince them that we need to go forward. We needed to give them and paint a picture that would give them some hope of what was to come. And it works, right? Because you can just say, I just want you to hang in there. Tomorrow will be the day. And then we are there, we're going to stop there, and we're going to camp for 4 days. You will not have to ride a horse if you don't want to. You will, but when you, let me tell you will want to, because you will want to see the country, but it's altogether different. It's not boggy and soggy like we're riding through now. It's good, solid ground. And you, when you come over, it'll look so beautiful. And when you smell those pines and taste the water of the Sheep Creek, you will be amazed. So we had to paint this picture, and it was very true. I love that valley. I love coming over the Surprise Pass and seeing this. But we had to help them. We had to point them forward. We had to keep them moving, because if they went back, nothing would have changed in their lives. It would have been just, we've just gone back, we've just suffered through these days, and nothing has changed. But we were able to get them over Surprise Pass into Sheep Creek. They were able to experience, and it's amazing how you come out of BC and it's gloomy, and then you hit that Alberta side and the sun shines and it is good, and suddenly people are taking off their jackets and they're happy, they're smiling, we're moving down, and they start to see what's before them and they are so happy. Now we still had to ride. There was still another week, at least maybe 8 days of riding and camping, but they got to that point and their spirits changed, and they experienced something, and it moved them forward, and it was that sense of hope that they had. Well, you know, if we read scriptures with that in mind, we see what God does through scriptures. We see what God does through his Psalms. We see what God does through the historical literature. We see what God does through prophecy, what God does through his Gospels, and then through the epistles, is he points people forward. It's a sense of, yes, today is here, but tomorrow is coming. Tomorrow is coming. We will find hope in what is coming. So keep moving forward. You know, so tonight, the scripture reading was from the book of Jeremiah, part of a prophecy. And just like Habakkuk, it is a time of hardship for Israel. It is not an easy place for them to be. But listen to how God sends his message to Jeremiah to share it with the people. And if you have your Bibles, you're sure welcome to come in there. But I just want to point out a few things. The first thing is Jesus, or God, saying to Jeremiah, behold, days are coming. Days are coming. You start to see how God is pointing Jeremiah forward in the midst of all that's going on, with the Babylonians coming, that they're facing exile, that life as they know it is gone and will never be in their lifetime again. And God says, but the days are coming. And what does he say? When I will fulfill my good word. You see, God continues to put that forward to Jeremiah long before Jesus came, to Habakkuk long before Jesus came, that says, the days are coming when my word will be fulfilled. And this is what he says. At the right time, or at the time that I have set to happen, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forward. Now, you and I sit on the other side of that hope, because we know what that righteous branch was. It was Jesus Christ. We know that he miraculously came to this world, born in a miraculous way, lived this life really, it was a life of challenge, but it was also a time when Jesus kept pointing his people, his disciples, his followers, the people he would meet. He was pointing them forward. My kingdom is here. God's kingdom is here, as he promised in the past. It is being fulfilled right now. It says that, down a little farther, that he will bring justice and righteousness. He will establish his kingdom. So us looking back can see that God was true to his word. Now, that took hundreds of years from when Jeremiah got this message. They as a people went into exile. They as a people we're in an Exodus and we're brought back to Israel in a miraculous way. They were sent back with resources to rebuild. The enemy king who had changed hands was now sending them back saying, go back, rebuild. I bless you to do this. Cyrus the Great. And so we can see how God's fulfilled his promise. We can see how he's been moving, always moving forward, moving his people forward. And he always says it with, be faithful. Know that I will fulfill what I have said. I will do it. So we can look back and see that it is true. Those people looking forward never really did see the fulfillment of it. But they still moved forward. They still walked with the people into exile, still proclaiming God's truths, reminding them how to live where they were to be the people of God. Now, I think this is important for us because just like they're going through hard times, we can go through hard times. We can face difficult times. We can face discouragements. I mean, and I mentioned this last week a little bit, but you just look at what's happening around the world around us. Things like Christmas are almost like they're being squashed, put away, hide them. I still find it amazing that you can listen to, we call it Christmas music, but we got Christmas carols still playing in the malls. It's sort of a last bastion of hope, of music of faith. Now, sometimes you're just like, oh, this sounds like it's just coming out of an elevator. But it's amazing how that enters into people's lives. And those songs that maybe they heard when they were kids, but they've long forgotten, they're rekindled in them. That message of hope is rekindled in them. God saying to them, listen to these words. And so we have this hard time, and sometimes we can feel pretty overwhelmed by it all. And I want to just take this moment to go back to Habakkuk here in Habakkuk 3, the end of Habakkuk. And this is not what you call a typical Advent message, but I think it fits in so well for us because he is a man who's facing this hardships of just the overwhelming stuff that is happening to him. It says in verse 16, it's his personal fear. There's trembling. He's just like, my lips quiver at the sound. I'm thinking of these Babylonians come and decay creeps into my bones. I'm weary. I am hopeless. Really? If I just get overwhelmed by what I see coming, I become hopeless. And that's where Habakkuk is. And then he thinks about what this will do to Israel, his homeland, the land that he loves, the people he loves. And he says, even though we collapse, our economy will just dry up. It'll be a cultural drought. This land, this people that's coming in are not going to let us have anything. It will be bleak times. But this is how Habakkuk wraps up this message. He says this, yet I. So you see, Habakkuk is making a choice right now, a decision to be a man of faith. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. So Habakkuk helps us to be those people of hope. How do we live, hopefully, in this day and age and in this time and when we might say, it is hopeless? I mean, I read these prayer requests. We prayed through them. And I think in some of those situations, there's that sense of hopelessness. You know, I always find it interesting talking to people that are having hip surgery because I just say, they just like, I'm scared. I'm scared that this journey will take me someplace that I don't want to go. Sounds like those people that went on that pack trip. And I don't know if I want to do it. And I just love walking up to him and say, well, let me tell you about my experience. You've had hip surgery? Yeah, I said, yeah, I've had two of them. And I said, I remember how painful it was going into that first one. I didn't know either. But I remember this when I woke up, that arthritic pain that's always there was gone. It was gone. I woke up and that pain was gone. I said, sure, you feel pain. It's from surgery. They cut your muscles. It hurts. But that ache that keeps you awake at night, that just invades your space moment by moment, is gone. And it's so fun to be able to share that with them. Now, some people, but if you want to experience pain-free, you've got to do the exercises at the end. A lot of people just hear me going wah, 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 at that point. And they think it's like a little magic bullet. And it's like, no. You still got to exercise. But that's how I just feel that sometimes we have this hopelessness, right? And yet when somebody comes along and says, but focus on this, know this, be aware of this, look forward to this, they enter into it with a different attitude than they would have without it. And that's what Jesus, or God, has got in store for us now. And Habakkuk has for it. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will find the joy in my God, my Savior. So just kind of like those hip patients, Habakkuk's saying, we have to do the exercises. We have to choose this. We have to practice this. Because if we don't, we will be overwhelmed. The decay in our bones, that feeling of we're just going to shrivel up, will overwhelm us. So his challenge is to you and I, be people of faith. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, when you think about it, this time every year, we stop and we take a season to rejoice in the Lord. Jesus came to earth. Jesus, the fulfillment of what God had talked about and what Jesus and God had planned right from the beginning of time when man sinned, came to fruition. And it came at a time that you would say, why then? But what an eventful time to come. A time when the Romans had come into this world. I don't know if this is why, but one of the things is when they were at the end of Jesus' ministry, when he sends everybody out to be missionaries, he ascends into heaven, fills them with the Spirit, sends them out. There are roads and pathways into the world. Ways for them to journey. Places to go. Gatherings of people. And they took the message of Jesus Christ into the world. Yeah, they faced opposition. But the getting there was a lot easier. And it moved. The message of Jesus Christ moved out into the world. I will rejoice. I will be joyful. He goes on in verse 19 to say this. The sovereign Lord is my strength. In the midst of the despair, he will lift me up. He will strengthen me. Now, this is the part I love, this the last of this verse, because to me, this is some of the most exciting stuff that you and I can cling on to. How do we do that? How do we walk? It seems impossible. Well, listen to what he says. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, or a mountain goat, or a mountain sheep. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you ever seen mountain goats on the hillsides, on the sides of mountains, and your first reaction is, how do they stay up there? Why are they there? How do they live there? And yet they seem like it just seems like that puts fear and trembling into me, being on the side of a mountain like that. But the feet of a goat are quite amazing because they have a foot, and then it's like there's this other sort of like a rubbery, leathery sole. And on that sole, if they take a look and they've taken looks at the microscope, there's these little hooks on it. And those little hooks and those things cause them to have a grip on the rock that you and I would have a hard time doing. And they're not just up there barely getting by. They're thriving up there. They grow. They get stronger. And I don't know about you, but I love seeing those pictures of those goats standing on those mountains, or videos especially. And as this wind and snow and a storm come by, and they just stand there like it's nobody's business. And they're just like, oh, I love a fresh breeze. Oh, I love these rainy days. I was getting a little warm. Oh, thank goodness it's a cool, snowy wind. That's their attitude up there. And it says here that the Lord makes our feet like those feet. So you and I are actually gifted with the ability to walk in hazardous conditions, on steep trails, where others will fear to go. We walk. Why? Because we're people of faith. God has prepared me for this. He has given me feet to walk on these trails. Because in the second part of that verse, he says, and he enables me to tread on heights. Or rather, it should say, he makes me to tread on these heights. So you see, the point isn't that he just gives me this footwear, but that he makes me, he wants me to keep moving. He's pointing me forward. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep walking with me. Exercise your faith. Be strong. And as you walk, bring others along with you. You know, like, it's one thing to watch a goat, but to watch those little baby kids and the way they scramble over things, I'm just like, oh, ye Dinah. It's crazy, but it's good. And I want you to remember that if you can. He's made our feet to walk in treacherous situations, and he desires that we just keep moving forward. He desired that Habakkuk keep walking. In light of everything that was going to just wipe all of Israel just off the face of the map, Habakkuk, keep walking. Those of you with faith, keep walking. Jeremiah, keep walking. Isaiah, keep walking. Tell the people, keep walking, keep moving, but walking in faith, trusting in God, trusting that he will fulfill his plans, trusting that he will bring hope. We are meant to move forward. That brings us to Hebrews, and I'm going to just wrap up quick here. And as we read through Hebrews, there's just a few things that popped out about hope, which is the theme, of course, for today's Advent. Hope is the act of looking forward to the completion of a plan. Hope is the act of looking forward, anticipating, getting over Surprise Pass, and then looking down and experiencing Sheep Creek. Hope is that person that goes into hip surgery, coming out of it, and the next day walking, but not with the pain of a sore hip, and then getting past that surgery pain and realizing they can walk and they can sleep and they can rest. So it's the act of looking forward, but it's also the act of moving forward towards that end. So Habakkuk was told to look forward, but also to act and to move forward. Jeremiah, look forward, act to move forward. Isaiah, one of the great prophets that you probably will read during this Advent season. He was kind of what they call the mountaintop prophet. He spoke of his mountaintop that they were on top of, talked about the valley and the hardships that they would experience, but there would be another mountaintop. There would be a Messiah. And then he talked about a mother mountaintop, when the pains and the travails of this earth will pass away, and we will be restored to completion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope is the act of looking forward and the act of moving forward. So how do we move forward? Well, this is the first three verses in Hebrews 12. Starts off by saying this: lay aside the things that encumber you. You see, our world is full of things that would like to distract us, or will distract us. It's not even to distract Christians. It's just out there. But if we allow them to become our idols, they hold our attention more than Jesus Christ. So he's saying, let go of the things that would encumber you. Lay aside the sin that entangles. Do you see where you go? You go from a moment of just, oh, look at this, or oh, whatever. We have our objects. We have our possessions, we have our houses, we have our homes, we have the things in them. Do they distract us from Jesus? And if they distract us, then they become sinful. So he said, lay aside those things, and then lay aside the sin that entangles. And why? Because as I want you to move forward, now Paul uses language of track and field. I don't want you just to walk forward. I want you to run forward. He wants people to know that we are told to run in our faith, moving forward in faith towards the goal that is set before us. The goal of what we all look forward to, that day when we will be with Jesus. Now, when that day is, I don't know. And it's not our point to know. The thing is, we're told to do is move forward. Move forward in faith, move forward in hope. So here's the challenge for you and I, is to move forward. But if we're doing it right, we become that salt and light in the world that says we do this not because I think it's the right answer, but I have a Savior that calls me to this. And I will find joy in doing so. And I will rejoice that He is there and has proved faithful through the generations. You see, it goes on to say that Jesus knew this as well. And when you think about it, it's true. Jesus had to experience all this as well. I think on that last night, I just can't even imagine the temptations and the turmoil that he went through. We think that it might have just been easy, but it wasn't. He wept, he sweated like it was blood. Like it was a turmoil. It was this inner struggle. Think of those words of Habakkuk. I tremble. I feel that my bones are decaying. I'm fearful. I'm weak in the knees. I have no strength. That is how scary this is. But I will move forward in faith. And we see the resolve of Jesus. And now he says, follow me. And if you weary or if you tire, it says for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Then we will not lose heart or grow weary. In the message, it's written like this. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over the story of Jesus again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. I hope we're encouraged tonight. It's so easy to get overwhelmed. It's so easy to get entangled, distracted. But Lord, you fitted us out. You fitted us out to be walking on mountains. Walking on mountains, thriving there. Living in faith. Living in hope. Looking forward. Looking forward to a day that will come when we are with you, where sin will not have a place. Thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. Thank you for fitting us for heaven. Now may we honor you by walking in faith. In your name I pray. Amen.